Revelation chapter 17, verse number 1. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, not the woman, but the beast. The woman was arrayed in purple and color, a scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. Now you understand, as you read that, whenever I was reading the first definition there, or first verse that talked about the seven heads and ten horns, it wasn't the woman, it was the beast. And we read that again in verse number 7. I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast which thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and shall go into perdition. And I hope y'all understand who that is. Amen? Amen? I mean, I can explain it to you, and I will, but I hope you understand before I go there who it's talking about. The beast that ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath the wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall not make war with the Lamb, or shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Or to underline that, if you hadn't already, amen, in your Bible. Yeah. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And the Bible says in verse 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Let's read in chapter 17, the entire chapter, verse 1 through 18. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege to be in this place, Father, in your house, Lord, tonight. Thank you so much for the wonderful day that you've blessed us with. God, you've been so good to us today, and I want to thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, to come to you in prayer. And I pray, God, tonight you illuminate my mind, guard my lips, and help me to say only that's needful and necessary, Lord, in this study tonight. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, through the precious word of God. And I pray, God, you'd help us to glean from these scriptures, Lord, to leave here saying it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. I pray, God, you'd help us, and Lord, as we study this book of Revelation, to see, Lord, the urgency of the hour, to see the seriousness, Lord, of those that are living in sin, and Lord, the seriousness of the judgment to come. And I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, tonight. Have your willing way in all that's said and all that's done. We'll thank you, and Lord, we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' loving name, I pray. Amen. As we begin looking at chapter number 17, and we understand several things tonight, and I want to give you a kind of an introduction, if I may, from several different notes I've written down, and try to understand where we're at in chapter 17 and chapter number 18. As we study through the scriptures, keep in mind the chapter's not in chronological order. Things that happen in chapter 16 and things that happen in chapter 17 are not following suit after each other. Chapter 17 and chapter 18 are parenthetical passages. These are things that happened within the other chapters, but God didn't deal with that in those chapters. He waited to chapter 17 and chapter 18, and we've dealt with that before in the parenthetical passages where God deals with certain things. These chapters, chapter 17 and chapter 18, describe the judgment of Babylon the Great, both its religious and its commercial. The religious, you'll find God dealing with the religious Babylon in chapter 17. The commercial Babylon, God deals with that in chapter number 18. And so we see that as we look at this, the religious part will be destroyed by the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 17 and verse 16, whereas the commercial will be destroyed by God in Revelation chapter 18 and verse number 8. The fall of Babylon was announced briefly in chapter 14 and again in chapter 16, but in Revelation chapter 17 and 18 we have the details of all of that's going to take place in the character and the overthrow of Babylon. Now, by the fact that these two different angels introduces chapter 17 and chapter 18, we know that these are two separate events. Amen? And we understand that as we study the scripture. We also know that these are two separate events pertaining to two aspects of one Babylon rather than one event described two different ways. Babylon is mentioned 262 times in the Bible, more than any other city other than Jerusalem. And whenever it deals with Babylon, it's dealing with, it is described this way, in a nutshell, expresses Satan's system of evil. That's Babylon. That's what it's dealing with. The religious side and the commercial side, it's all Satan's will. Amen? It's Satan's working, his evil system, especially developed from Babel onwards after the flood, and includes all the various systems of idolatry and false worship, and that they had their spring or their root directing in Babylon. As you study through the scriptures, you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and you'll find that they tried to build a tower in Babel. You remember that? Yeah. In the book of Genesis. That was the very beginnings of going against the will of God and going against the commands of God. And we find that there in Genesis chapter number 10. Now, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time dealing with this part tonight, but I want you to understand where this come from. And it began way back, amen, many years ago. And it is growing much stronger today. The wicked, the ungodliness, the false worship. Listen, it is worse today than probably ever has been, as far as I'm concerned. It's some of the ungodliest stuff we've ever seen. But listen, they had some ungodliness in Moses' day and Abraham's day. They had that, and it began in Genesis chapter number 10. Babylon began as Babel, the location of the Tower of Babel, which was built under the leadership of Nimrod after the flood. Genesis chapter 10, verse 8 through 10, chapter 11, verse 1 through 9. It is here that the system of idolatry and false religion began and spread to all nations. That's where it began, at Babel. Babel was built by Nimrod. He is described as a mighty hunter before the Lord. Genesis chapter 10, verse 9, a hunter of the souls of men. Going out from the presence of the Lord, he sought to gather a multitude unto himself, or about himself, and in defiance to the express command of God to spread abroad upon the face of the earth and persuade his associates and followers to join him in building a city and a tower which should reach into heaven. He is trying to get people to follow him in this false worship and in this religious system that he was trying to build, this idolatry, the tower of renown rising to a great height, to be recognized as a temple or a rallying center for those who did not walk in obedience to the word of the Lord. That's where it started, and it's been growing ever since. Revelation chapter 17 teaches us that God is going to deal with that. The Antichrist himself will destroy that world system, and God's going to destroy the commercial side of Babylon in chapter 18. But God is sending judgment on that, and God's going to deal with idolatry. He's going to deal with false worship and everyone that has anything to do with that. Amen? He's going to deal with that, and he's going to judge them on judgment day, and that's in the great judgment that we're reading about in Revelation. As we study the Tower of Babel, it represents the following things. Here are just a few of the characteristics of Babylon. One is pride. Yes. That pride gets its roots all the way back to Genesis chapter 10 when Babel was built and the tower was built to try to reach heaven. That's where pride began. It has a haughty attempt to exalt and to glorify man. Genesis chapter 11 verse 4. The Bible says, "Let us make a name. Let us make us a name." In the beginning of humanism, man wanted to make themselves a name for their goodness and how great they were and what they could accomplish. That's pride. Amen. Yeah. That's where it began. Humanism, and it's symbolic of all man's attempts to glorify himself rather than to glorify God. Yeah. Boy, I'm telling you, that's where pride is. Amen. Right. The scripture says, "Humble yourselves therefore unto God." Yeah. Amen. Resist the devil. Amen. Yeah. Resist him and humble yourselves before God. So we see that pride is one of the characteristics of Babylon. Secondly of all is rebellion. Rebellion is one of the characteristics also of Babylon. It was a defiant attempt to unify mankind and to establish a one world headquarters. Everybody that didn't want to honor God was to go there and do what they were doing in defiance to the word of God and to the command of God. And so it was trying to establish a one world headquarters. Guess what they're still trying to do? Amen. A one world church. Genesis chapter 11 verse number 4, "Let us make us a name." God had commanded the sons of Noah to replenish the earth in Genesis chapter 9 verse 1. This means to fill, which would involve scattering throughout the earth. Instead, the Babel builders determined to defy God's command and instead to unite all people and build a centralized world headquarters. That was their goal, to defy God. We don't have to listen to God. We can do our own thing. Rebellion. Boy, have you seen any of that? Amen.
Yeah.
The defined plan was diffusion, and the command was to push out in all directions, not one, to occupy and subdue all the earth. But Nimrod's plan was to keep the people all together under his leadership to serve his ends and his means. That's rebellion. So we see the characteristic of Babylon's pride, and it's also rebellion. And then it's also idolatry. It was the beginning of an idolatrous, mysterious religion. The desire to build a tower to heaven had a religious implications associated with astrology and idolatry, the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And that's where it all began, in idolatry, the worship of the sun and the moon and the stars. Genesis chapter 11 verse 4, Romans chapter 1 verse 21 through 23, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and Revelation chapter 17 and verse 5. It was the Chaldeans that first developed the zodiac. Hello, is everybody listening?
Yeah.
The zodiac and its alleged power over humanity. Babylon became the fountainhead of idolatry and the mother of all heathen and pagan systems in the world. The mystery religion that originated there spread into various forms throughout the whole earth and is with us even today. The false religions of our day had its seed, had its root in Babel in Genesis chapter number 10. There's just a little history for you. Hope that helps you tonight as we look at this world system that God's going to deal with. Amen. Revelation chapter 17 verse 1. One of the seven angels of that had the vile judgments approached John and directed him to come near that he might show him the final judgment. This is parenthetical passage. We talked about chapter 16 was the wrath of God being poured out. It's the final judgment of God. Chapter 17 is taking place in the midst of all that, in the final judgments. All right, so stay with me. Don't let me lose you. as we're looking at this final judgment, he's approached by the angel about to be placed on the great whore which sitteth upon many waters. Verse 3 through 6 of chapter 17 gives more specific description of this woman. Look with me if you would. In verse number 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Yeah. In verse number 6, the Bible says, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Verse number 18 makes it clear who this woman is. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 18. The scripture says, the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. The great whore, or the false church, is pictured as the wife of the beast, the mother of harlots. As we study this, we find this great whore is none other than the Roman Catholic Church. Amen?
Yeah.
That is pulling people into that false religion, that false worship, that idolatry, the gold and all the things that they have, the purple and the linens and all that mess that they do and that they attract people with. And that is drawing so many people into that false religion. The scripture says that it's the great whore that's causing man to commit fornication. This is spiritual fornication, all right? It's not physical, it's spiritual. Instead of following God and worshiping God, now listen, they're following man and worshiping man and man's way. It's spiritual fornication. The Bible says the true church is a pure virgin. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ.
Yeah.
The great whore is none other than the Roman Catholic Church. The term sitting upon many waters means it's a controlling church. As the scripture says that it's sitting upon many waters, and that represents the people, the tongues, the nations, and all that surround. And so it's a great controlling church with the great whore is a place of power and authority. Verse number 2, Revelation chapter 17. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. This is why she's called a harlot. She is dressed in expensive garments. She's decorated with gold and precious stones, also having a golden cup in her hand, and is drunk from the blood of the saints. This attire she has speaks of her wealth. Not only does she have power, but she has money to back it up. The Roman Catholic Church, amen, knows something about wealth. Amen.
Yeah.
There never have been any popes in poverty. You ever heard of that? Of a pope being in poverty, never heard of such thing. Amen. They have wealth. I know that there's a lot of things that goes on with the Roman Catholic Church. My boss man has been to Italy and Paris and all these places, and he's been to some of the places in Rome, and he's took pictures and sent them back to me. And he went into this one place, and he was mesmerized by all the wealth that was on the walls. I mean, millions of dollars worth of stuff in this place that they went in. And he took those pictures, and he sent them to me and said, do you realize what this is worth? Do you realize what it costs? And do you realize how famous this place is? And I said, do you realize it's all going to burn up one day?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. That's something that man's put together, and it's not going to stand. God's going to destroy that. Amen.
Yeah.
So we see that the Roman Catholic Church knows about wealth. Verse number 3, the Bible says, so he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. This city, likened to a whore, is described as having a direct relationship with a scarlet-colored beast in bed with him. Amen. Having a relationship. This beast clearly is the same as the one described in Revelation chapter 13. Both have seven heads and 10 horns. This is likened to the Antichrist and his system. All right? The beast here is described as scarlet-colored in connection to the red dragon of chapter number 12 of Revelation. It is evident that the scarlet colored beast clearly is Antichrist, and he is empowered, gets his power from none other than the devil. Amen. So that scarlet colored beast that she's riding upon is none other than the Antichrist. Amen. Powered by the devil. Yeah. And so that's all coming from the wickedness and ungodliness of the devil. Verse number 4, look with me. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. She is a harlot, a great harlot, but she is also the mother of harlots. The Babylonian system has, in one way or another, given birth to all the false religions of today. Amen.
Amen.
Some way or another, they all connect to the false religions of the Roman Catholic Church. She has also seduced men into opposing God and persecuting his saints. Verse number 5, look with me. I'm trying to get through a few of these verses tonight before we quit. Verse number 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. A clear connection is made of this great apostate religious city with the ancient city of Babylon. Upon the very forehead of this great symbolic harlot was written, Mystery, Babylon. Babylon was a city which arose shortly after the disaster of the Tower of Babel. In fact, many believe that Babel was the origin of Babylon. I believe that also. Hey, listen, this was from one of the commentators I found this afternoon, that the birthplace of false counterfeit religion was in Babel. Amen?
Yeah.
The Babylonian mystery religion has its origins there. It bears remarkable similarities to the trappings and teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. Historically, the descendants of the priesthood of the Babylonian mystery religion later migrate into Pergamos. In the 3rd century AD, they again migrate to Rome. It is thought that they had a profound influence upon the church at Rome, injecting much of their doctrine into Rome. Amen? And so that's where most of this comes from Babel. The description of the city being the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth no doubt refers to the source of her spiritual apostasy and idolatrous abomination down through the ages. The Roman Catholic Church has literally destroyed thousands upon thousands. Amen? And listen, people have died and went to hell out of the Roman Catholic Church and their false teachings and their false religion. And she's the great harlot. She's drawn men unto her and lied to them and given them a false hope. And the Pope has no hope. Amen.
Amen.
And listen, we find here that God is dealing with this. And he says in verse number 6, John further wrote and said, I saw a woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Clearly, this religious city, the source of all spiritual apostasy, is not referring to a literal Babylon rebuilt or any other way. The city and the religious system which John wrote had shed the blood of God's people down through the ages, particularly that of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. They martyred them. Someone, as a matter of fact, my boss man is in Paris, and he sent me 2 pictures this week. One of them, he said, do you realize how famous this picture is? And it was a picture of Christ on the cross, and the 2 thieves beside him. And I've got the picture on my phone. I can show it to you. He said, you realize how famous this picture is. I said, do you realize how brutal the Romans were in their punishment? Rome was brutal. Amen. And they was wicked. And they crucified Christ. The blood of Christ is on Rome.
Yeah,
amen. The blood of all those that serve the Lord, the martyrs of Jesus Christ, and they crucified and they killed so many. And listen, this cannot refer to anything else except for the religious system, the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Church slaughtered a great multitude which no man can number of Bible-believing, born-again Christians who would not partake in Rome's blasphemy.
Yeah.
Amen. There's many of those that were like that. We studied our Baptist history. We know that there was many that would not give in to their wickedness, would not give in to the state church, and stood against that. The Baptist, listen real close to me tonight, the Baptist is the only denomination that did not come forth out of the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Amen. We are not Protestants. We didn't come out of the Baptist church. The Baptist, you can trace our roots all the way back to the days of Christ. Amen. Amen. John the Baptist. Jesus was baptized. They believe in baptism. Amen. Jesus Christ himself walked 60 miles to be baptized by John the Baptist. Amen. So you can trace our roots all the way back to the days of Jesus Christ. Every other denomination since that or besides that came out of the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're perfect by no means. I'm just saying in our denomination you can trace our roots, but we didn't come out of the Roman Catholic Church.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. I'm not a Protestant. Don't accuse me of being such. Amen.
Amen.
You ought to know your history. Amen. Yeah. I talked to a man one day when we was doing our Baptist history study, and I was telling him we was studying the history of Baptists. And I said, man, have you ever studied that? He said, oh, I love that study. Whenever we study how we came became Protestants, I said, oh, stop right there. I said, son, I'm not a Protestant. I didn't come out of the Catholic Church. He said, oh, but yes, the Baptists came out of the Catholic. I said, no, sir, we did not. I don't know who told you that lie, but I didn't come out of no Catholic Church. Amen.
Right.
I follow my roots all the way back to the days of Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for that. That's why we call ourselves Heritage Baptist Church. We have a godly heritage. Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to stand on that. But the Roman Catholic Church has intoxicated so many and has ruined so many. And listen, with their lies and their blasphemy, and listen, they're just the ungodliness, and they're drawing men to that false religion. The vast quantity of innocent blood on her hands only served to intoxicate the Roman church to even greater excess of persecution. John said, when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Upon being shown this abomination, John marveled with great astonishment when he saw her. The word as admiration has the sense to wonder or to be astonished. It may be that John realized this great apostate system portrayed itself as a representative of Christ on earth as it normally does.
Yeah.
Amen. The Roman Catholic Church portrays itself as being of God and being of Christ. I beg to differ with that. Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible speaks of, Paul wrote about those that were the enemy of the cross of Christ. They were not the enemy of Christ, but they were the enemy of the cross of Christ. That's the Roman Catholics, amen?
Amen?
That's the Roman Catholic Church. Revelation chapter 17 goes back and fills in some of what we have already dealt with in the tribulation period. Chapter 16 is when the tribulation is finished. Revelation chapter 16, verse 17. The Bible says, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. There came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Chapter 17 covers the specifics of when Babylon the harlot, or the religious Babylon, is destroyed. Chapter 18 we'll study, we find the destruction of the commercial, the political Babylon. Amen. We'll study that a little later. John needed help in understanding what he saw, so the angel had taken him to see this wicked woman explain and define what John had saw. Verse 7, the angel is going to help John understand what he's seen. Heaven is interested in our understanding of divine truth. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all help me just a little bit right there tonight. Heaven is interested in our understanding of divine truth.
Right.
It is vital tonight that we understand that we are not part of the Roman Catholic Church.
Amen.
Amen. Know your roots. Know where you come from and stand on that. Amen.
Amen.
We've got a godly heritage, a wonderful heritage that Jesus Christ himself was the author and the finisher of our faith. And he started the church. And he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
And the true church is stand with God and for God. And we need to know, amen, our history and our heritage. We need to know that and stand on it, because heaven is interested in us understanding divine truth. That's why we have Sunday school.
Amen.
Good plug for Sunday school. Amen.
Amen.
That's why we have Sunday school. We come to Sunday school to learn the things of the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
We come to church to learn what God has for us. And so we see here that the angel is trying to help John understand these things that he saw. Many people are not interested in understanding divine truth. So they don't study. Hello?
Amen.
They don't study their Bibles. They don't learn the Word of God. They're not interested. But God is interested in us learning some things and understanding some things of the Bible. The Babylonian system is a religious apostate world church that minimizes doctrinal truth, rejects the authority of the Word of God, and tries to unite people on some of their basis besides faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. There's none other way. Amen.
Amen.
None other way. What's going to happen is the harlot is going to be made desolate by the one, the very one that carried her. Verse number 7, which is Satan. And the Antichrist will use the apostate religious system to accomplish his goals. But them he will do away with, or then he will do away with the harlot and establish his own religious system. And all of this will be fulfilling the Word of God.
That's
amen.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. It's going to fulfill the Word of God. It's believed that the harlot and the beast work together in the first half of the tribulation. Since the beast sets up his image in the temple and in the middle of the tribulation, those that trust the Lord are not influenced by the harlot, are defeated by the kings. John points this out, that true believers are overcomers. Amen.
Amen.
The true believers are overcomers. Satan's counterfeit religion is subtle, requiring spiritual discernment to recognize it.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important that we study and to show ourselves approved unto God. Amen. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. We
Amen.
Need to study. We need to know the Bible and know what the Word of God says so we can recognize false religion and false teaching when we see it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
God's interested in teaching us these things if we'd be more interested in learning it.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. We need to be more interested in learning it. Paul's great concern was that the local churches he founded not be seduced away from the truth, and their sincere devotion was to Jesus Christ. He wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. You need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Hello?
Amen.
Are we listening? That's the Word of God. John's pinning this down. Little children, he's talking to the saved. Amen?
That's right.
Listen to him. He says, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him.
Amen.
Amen. God wants us to know divine truth. He wants us to know the truth and stand on truth and be aware of the devil and his devices and his false teachings and false religions. God's going to destroy that one of these days. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm glad to know that I can have confidence in my Lord. I'm glad that I can have confidence when he comes. I'm not ashamed to look him face to face and said, by your grace and by your mercy, hallelujah, I was able to stand on truth and stand on right. And I did what I believe the scripture says, and I did everything in my power to stand for you. Amen.
Amen.
Have that confidence to stand for God. We need that in our day. We need to learn all we can learn and study and show ourselves approved unto God. What a great privilege we have as born-again believers. Amen.
Amen.
What a privilege it is. I'll share this story real quickly, and I'll be finished tonight. I was in a class on Tuesday. I had to teach classes twice this week. I taught one on Tuesday, and I taught another class today. And I taught a class Tuesday in Wilkes County, teaching these guys how to work on school buses. And I walked into the school bus garage there in Wilkes County, and the guy met me at the door and told me we was going to work inside the shop if that was fine with me, and I'm all good with that. And he says, well, we got this. We want to try to do this. We want to try to do that. And help us figure this out. Help us figure that out. I said, okay, all that's good. I said, man, I need to go to the restroom. Would you please just excuse me for a minute? He said, oh, sure. Go right ahead. So I go around the hallway, and I go start down the hallway. Well, there's another guy that catches me about halfway down the hallway. He said, well, I've got this to do, that to do, and I'm not going to be in your class. And I'm, man, I don't care. You know, I need to go to that room right there.
And,
I've rode for an hour and a half, and I drank coffee before I left the house. And so I'm headed that way. I'm trying to inch my way over there. And here comes another guy down the hallway, and he's a barreling toward me. And I thought, what in the world? And this guy gets right up to me, gets right in my face, and said, you don't know me, do you? I looked at him for a minute, and I said, no, I don't have a clue who you are. And I looked at him again and said, no, wait a minute. It hit me. He spoke and said something. You don't know me, do you? When he said it, I recognized his voice. I thought I did. And I looked at it for a minute. I said, man, you're supposed to be dead. Because everybody told me he died. Mm-hmm. And he said, what? He said, I'm not dead. He said, I'm right here. I said, well, I see that. And he told me what his name was. He used to work for me years ago when I had my first shop. This was one of my best mechanics that worked for me. And it was said, rumored, that he got blowed up in a moonshine still. Now, he was bad to drink and all that stuff. And they said he got blowed up in a moonshine still. And I met him, and I just stood there, and I was kind of messing. I just grabbed him and hugged him. He's hugging me. Man, it's so good to see you. And so we talked for a few minutes. He said, I need to talk to you before you leave. He said, I'm going to blow your mind. Okay, all right, sounds interesting. So he's there working at the bus garage, and he's working there on, he's not work release, but he's working there through the prison. The prison goes, the school goes and picks him up from prison, him and another guy, and they bring him up there, and they work all day long in the shop, and they make $1 a day. And he's working on that, trying to work up to work release. He's in minimum security, but he had done some things. He got himself in a mess, and he told me all about it, and I ain't going to get into all that. But anyway, he ended up in prison because he got caught. But anyway, we go upstairs, and they had some snacks and stuff up there. And after class, I go up there, and I sit down for a minute, go and get some of those little snacks. I want us to go up there. And so he's sitting there, and he says, I want you to sit down, buddy. I want to talk to you for a minute. Now, I've known this guy for a long time. I ain't seen him probably 10, 12 years. He says, I want you to sit down. I want you to listen to me, church, all right? I want you to listen close. You never know the impact that you have on people.
That's right.
You never know. And I talked to that man many times, invited him to church. I preached to him. I wasn't even called to preach back in those days, but I tried to share the gospel with him and tell him how he needed to be saved, need to get away from that bottle, and need to quit drinking and straighten his life up. When he's in prison, his life's been destroyed. It's the second time he's been in prison. I first met him, he just got out of prison that many years ago. Now he's back in there again. But he sets me down, he says, listen, I'm going to tell you something. He said, this goes way back. He said, you remember whenever you invited me to the church with you and your mama? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, you remember I went to church with you that one Sunday morning? I said, yes, sir, I do. And I said, I remember you went to church with me, and he stayed at the water fountain near the whole service. He could not sit still. He kept running to the water fountain. He's under such conviction, he couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
And he said, you remember that Sunday? He said, I talked to you, and I told you that man, I was addicted to alcohol and all that kind of stuff. He said, you remember me telling you that? I said, yeah, I remember you telling me that. He said, you said something that stuck with me, and I never got over it. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, wonder what that was. He said, you told me that God took that away from you, that you used to drink, you used to smoke, you used to do those things, but God took it away from you.
Yeah.
And he said, I prayed from the day you told me that. He said, I prayed, God, take it away from me. And he said, he never did. He said, and I couldn't understand why God wouldn't take that away from me. He said, but you better be careful what you pray for. Yes. He said, because I got serious with God. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'll ask God to take that away from me. And he nearly died. He was doing something that was illegal, and I'm not going to tell you what it was. But he got charged with 7,200 volts, blowed a hole in the top of his head. His whole left side, he said, was full of holes. He said, I ought to be a dead man. And his middle finger was all deformed and messed up where the electricity blowed out of his finger. And he was, I mean, he was still up and walking around. He said, I ought to be a dead man. And this is what he told me. This is what really got my attention and listening. Of course, I was listening the whole time. But he said, when I come to, after the Lord laid me on my back, he said, I looked up in the sky. And he said, and there was a hole in the clouds. And he said, as sure as I'm standing here, preacher, and tears are streaming down his face, he said, God was coming to judge me.
Yeah.
He said, I remember that time that you said that God took that away from you. And he said, God's took it away from me.
Amen.
He said, I could see that hole in the cloud. He said, one or two things is fixing to happen. He's coming to judge me, or he's going to take me through that hole and judge me there. And he said, I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, I've given my heart and life to God.
Amen.
Whoop.
Amen. Amen.
That'll make a Presbyterian shout. Amen.
That's right.
He was a weeping and crying, got me to crying there sitting at the table, and I said, Lord, have mercy, son. He said, ain't that good stuff? I said, that's gooder than good. Amen.
Amen.
You never know.
That's right.
You never know the impact you have on somebody.
That's
why it's so important that we stand for truth and right. Amen.
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 Boy, there have been many times I could have run off with him. We could have went and got drunk together. We could have partied together. I sat in his house one night, and I told him, I said, listen, you said something to me years ago. And I said, I've never forgotten. I said, I've really been beating myself up because I thought you was dead. He said, what in the world did I say to you? I said, you asked me one night. I said, you was drunk. And I was sitting on your couch. I took you home. And you was drunk. And I said, you told me you had no friends. And you asked me if I'd be your friend. And I promised you I would.
Yeah.
And he told me, he got up that morning. He said, I got up Tuesday morning. He said, and the other guy that was with him, he told him, he said, I pray all the time. And the other guy said, he's in that Bible. He said, every day he's reading the Bible. And he said, I prayed this morning, God, would you put some godly people in my life?
Amen.
And he said, son, he said, I couldn't get to you quick enough. And I seen you come to those doors at the bus garage. He said, I couldn't get to you quick enough.
Amen.
And, amen. So what a blessing. Amen.
Yes.
But he realized that judgment's coming.
Yeah.
Amen. It took something awful. I mean, to blow holes in your head and all that. You said it took him a long time to heal up with those big holes that blow through him. 7,200 volts that went through him. He's blessed.
Yes.
And I said, son, that's not love. I said, that's the grace of God.
That's right.
And he knows that. And he accepted, said he, you know, that he called on God to forgive him. And he prays every day. And what a blessing that is. But listen, judgment is coming.
That's right.
Yes. Amen. Judgment's coming. God's given us the responsibility to share the gospel. Don't give up on him. Amen.
Amen.
You never know what'll happen. This man's in prison now, and I'm going to try to go visit with him while I'm off for Christmas. I'm going to try to take him something. He said, God took cigarettes away. He took alcohol away. He said, he's took drugs away. He said, son, I don't even desire that stuff.
Amen.
He said, I don't even want to smell it. I don't want to be around it. He said, these guys up here, if they smoke, he said, I go in another room. He said, I don't even want to smell it.
Amen.
Amen.
I said, that's the way God did me.
That's
Amen.
Right.
He took it all away from me. Let's pray God to help us to be an example to those around us. Amen.
Amen.